ABC News.
The Labor Party has claimed a narrow victory in the seat of Eden Monaro in the southeast corner of New South Wales, despite suffering a big drop in its primary vote in the weekend poll. In counting yesterday, Liberal candidate Fiona Kotvoyes made up further ground, but the ALP's Christy McBain is almost certain to get across the line thanks to preferences in the field of 14 candidates. William Bowes is an election analyst and runs the Poll Bludger blog. He says there were factors specific to the Eden Monaro contest.
The issue is that this was an opposition defending one of its own seats. And when that happens, this sort of supposed iron law about by-elections always going in favour of the opposition party doesn't hold as firm. Because when you have a by-election, you've got a sitting member who's, you know, not in the equation anymore. Their personal vote disappears. When a government is defending its own seat, that's they have that challenge to overcome. They've had a member who's been working in the electorate for a long time. And Mike Kelly was a very popular local member. So Labor have lost that sitting member factor. So when you factor that into the equation, it's rather a lot less unusual for there to be a swing against against an opposition party, notwithstanding that swing has never been big enough to actually cost an opposition the seat since 1920, which people are very keen to remind Labor of ahead of this by-election.
And it's such a sprawling electorate. There were swings, I gather, all over the place. So in terms of how Labor managed to scrape through, what's your assessment?
There were some interesting regional level effects. Not all that easy to get a handle on. I think sort of some people were wondering if maybe bushfire affected areas were going to swing more heavily against the government. If that effect was there at all, it was pretty modest. The Cobargo booth, where Scott Morrison famously met his hostile reception, actually swung quite solidly towards the Liberal Party, which upset a few people's narratives. But there were some strange things going on. But Mike Kelly apparently was very popular in the Queanbeyan area, and this loomed quite large in the result. Labor's vote was down reasonably considerably around Queanbeyan, which is a sort of almost these days an outer suburb of Canberra, and hence a urbanised sort of area and a little bit different from much of the rest of the electorate. That apparently was where Mike Kelly was especially popular, and Labor's vote came off the boil a bit there. So as you say, it is an eclectic electorate, and that meant that we got some fairly mixed pictures coming through on election night and a lot of different narratives emerging.
And you mentioned the bushfires. Of course, the electorate or parts of it have gone through bushfires and drought and now COVID-19. The tourist industry around the southern part of the electorate has been absolutely smashed. How much do you think local issues like that played into the vote? And how much was it federal issues or even the leaders themselves, Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese?
Well, I mean, it's telling that you run through so many different factors there because, you know, we've got a huge mix of conflicting currents going on at this election. And for people trying to draw political narratives out of this favourable to their own perspective, you know, you've got to pick and mix there. So the Liberals are, you know, really arguing very heavily that this is a disaster for old Anthony Albanese. The Labor primary vote was going down. And in particular, after all of that narrative about the bushfires being this big sort of turning point against Scott Morrison a couple of months ago, in the very electorate that probably more than any other electorate in the country was really hit hard by those bushfires, they've performed at least creditably well at a by-election. So, I mean, clearly we're in a very different world now that COVID-19 has swept through. And it's really difficult to say, with all of these factors going on, which of the political narratives are emerging has the most credence to it. I think by-elections tend to get overanalyzed. There are always local factors specific to the result. And in this case, Labor losing a fairly popular local member. So I hesitate to draw any clear, sharp narrative out of this. The result is, in a lot of ways, a big mess of different factors.
William, what about the large pre-poll? Is that going to become, do you think, a factor in most elections from now? And how much did that play into the result?
Well, it already has. And if anything, I'm a bit surprised that there wasn't a bigger growth in preg polls this time around. The COVID-19 effect resulted not so much in more preg polls being cast as more postal votes being cast. And I think there was a bit of a view that postal votes were sort of going out of fashion. As younger generations come through, they're not used to using mail at all. And what we were seeing was a decline in election day voting, a decline in postal voting, and a big rise in pre-poll voting. But I think the real watershed we had for pre-poll voting was actually at the federal election. I think the new normal is now a roughly even balance between election day polling and pre-poll voting. And I don't think there's a huge amount of difference now between election day votes and pre-poll votes. I think pre-polling used to be more favourable towards the Liberals. I think the notion was that wealthier people with better flexibility in their time schedules were better understanding perhaps of the electoral process were more likely to pre-poll, and hence higher educated, wealthier people were doing it. I think those distinctions have faded away now that pre-poll voting has become as widespread as it has.
That's William Bowes, election analyst and running the Poll Bludger blog, giving us an idea of the wash-up from the Edmonero by-election at the weekend.
ABC News.